Good morning, everyone. I enjoyed the kids doing that Proverbs 31. Kind of interesting, but when Laura and I were married, the man that married us read that proverb. And, you know, it's a little bit different at a wedding to read that, but 37 years later, I can say that was a wise choice. That was a wise choice because it certainly proved to be true. Yeah, I'm very thankful. We're looking at Luke today, Luke chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 40, reading from verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them to tell no one what had happened. The Lord will bless again the reading of his word. Let's just commit ourselves again. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this portion in Luke, which tells us of something of the wonder of our Savior. And we just pray, Lord, that as we look at it today, that you would speak to each of us, speaker included, and just touch our hearts once again with your wonderful provision and your love and your Son. And we pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Savior today, that they might come to him. So we ask these things in his name. Amen. Yes, we've been going through Luke, and we're in this portion here, and it's interesting to me, this is Mother's Day, and this wasn't planned or anything, but this portion today, there's three women in this portion. There's this girl, 12-year-old girl, and then there's the woman with the flow of blood, and then there's the mother of the girl that's mentioned. And actually, Luke, in his gospel, mentions women more than any of the other gospel writers. He actually mentions widows more than all the other gospels combined. And so women have a very prominent place in Luke's gospel. We see in this story or these records here there's these different cases of healing. We see there's some real differences, but there are also some real similarities. And one that we can't help but notice is this little girl was 12 years old, and this woman had this disability, this flow of blood for 12 years. And we can think about that. If we go back, if we would go back 12 years from this, the start of this, from where this takes place, we went back 12 years, what would we see? We'd see this little girl just being born, you know. Nothing more precious than that, right? A little girl being born into the world and bringing what joy she must have brought to her parents. And it was a wonderful time. But we also see 12 years ago this woman with having this physical ailment and the grief and suffering that caused her for 12 years. And so we see similarity there, but there's certainly a big divergence. But I was thinking of, Gerald looked at these two miracles or when the Lord was working on this earth, and there's, so that's four of them together here. And recently we've been reminded of Psalm 107, and all of these cases are completely different, and there's different issues, different problems, different cases, but they still only had one solution. And in Psalm 107, we find, you know, there's different cases. There's people that are wandering in the wilderness. They can't find the city. There's people that are, because of their sin, they've got sickness and they can't, can't get free. We see people that are bound in chains and they can't get free. And we see people out on the water and on the sea, and the waves are crashing, and they're at their wit's end, it says in Psalm 107. But the answer is the same. The solution is the same. They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. And it's the same here in Luke. In these four cases, that we think of the men in the boat. Gerald talked about that with Jesus in the boat. We can smile at the storm, but these men weren't smiling. They were terrified. And I thought about that story too. And you know, these were fishermen. They knew that lake like no one else, really, humanly speaking. And they had a lot of experience on the water. And yet, in this storm, they were terrified, and but they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. And yet the Lord was with them in the boat. So he said, where was your faith? You know, I'm with you. And yet, and so that's, you know, that those were his disciples, those that were with him, you know. But then he comes to the other side of the lake, and there's another case where this man is completely possessed with demons, and many demons. And you know, here again, why did the Lord cross that lake? Well, it was for that man. We see that, and that man needed deliverance, and the Lord delivered him. And then we see in these two cases here with these two women, this young girl, she was at the point of death. And it's interesting, in Luke's Gospel is the only, these two instances are mentioned in Matthew and Mark also. They're in both Gospels. But only in Luke's Gospel is it mentioned that she was his only daughter. She was his only daughter. And so there's that side that really is touching. And here was this man's only daughter. And he was an important man. He was a religious man. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man that knew the law, that was respected. And but he had this daughter that was dying, and he had nowhere to turn. But when he heard the Lord had returned, he did the right thing, didn't he? He went to him. His only hope was the Lord Jesus, and he comes to him. He says he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. And we've read this portion here, and we know the outcome of it, what happened. And that's interesting, because it says that Jesus begged him to come, and Jesus went with him as he went. So when we look at this case, Jairus, we think of when we go back to the case of the demonic man, and we see when the Lord Jesus is dealing with that problem and that with these demons, and it says the demons they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss, and then it says And then it says the demons begged him that he would permit them to go into the swine. And then, in later on, after that man is delivered from the demons, it says that this man that had been delivered, he begged the Lord Jesus that he might be with him. But the Lord sent him away, it says, and told him what to do. And then we have Jairus falling down before the Lord and begging him to come to his house because of his daughter. Well, this isn't mine. Rob Brennan shared this with me, so I'll share it with you. When we look at the demons, you know, the Lord granted their request. He granted their request. He allowed them to go into the swine, but he didn't grant them their desire. He granted them their request, but he didn't grant them their desire. What was their desire? That they wouldn't go into the abyss. Well, what happened to the pigs? The pigs ran down into the lake and drowned, so they ended up in the abyss. So he granted them a request. He didn't grant them their desire. But the man that wanted to be with the Lord, that begged him that he could be with him, he didn't grant him his request, but he gave him his desire. He sent him away. He said, go tell what great things God has done for you. And it says he went and proclaimed everywhere the great things that Jesus had done for him. And he had that opportunity, that privilege of proclaiming the Lord. And so, but when we come to Jairus, we see that he not only granted him his request, he went with him, but we see the final result, he granted him his desire also. And when we think about that man that had the demons and was delivered, and it says he went his way and proclaimed to the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. We know that before this, the crowd, Gerald spoke on this last time, that they had asked him to leave. They were seized with great fear. They were no doubt very superstitious and everything. When they saw the Lord had, they saw this man, these demons, they couldn't even chain him, and here he was sitting clothed in his right mind. They were afraid, it says. But like Paul Harvey says, you know, or used to say, what about the rest of this? This is the rest of the story, right? And so when we turn back to Matthew 14, we find out that when Jesus goes back, what happens? The crowds, well, let's just look at it. Just turn to Matthew 14. Matthew 14 in verse 34, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So that man, he had gone and told everyone what Jesus had done for him. And you know, that was a real missionary effort. There was many people that came to the Lord when he went back. So that's the rest of the story. But when we come to this man Jairus, like I say, he was a influential man. And so Jesus went with him to his house. And we read about the multitudes that were there thronging him, all around him, close to him. But then we have this other woman, and she had this physical ailment, this flow of blood for 12 years. And it says she had spent all her livelihood on physicians that could not be healed by any. And Mark's gospel tells us not only that she had suffered many things, but that she was getting worse. It wasn't just that the physicians couldn't heal her. She was actually getting worse. And, you know, this is such a beautiful picture of us. It really is, because this woman had this physical ailment. But, you know, this physical ailment, if we go back to Leviticus 15... it tells us that anyone with a discharge was shut out of the congregation of Israel, of shut out of the presence of the Lord, really. And they couldn't offer the sacrifices. They couldn't approach the tabernacle because they were unclean. They were unclean. They weren't able to do that. And not only that, but this woman was completely bankrupt. She had spent all her money trying everything to be healed. She had gone everywhere. She had spent all her livelihood, and she couldn't be healed by anyone. And that's a picture of is, it's a picture of us as outside of Christ, and it's really a picture of the Gentiles. If we want to flip over to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and let's just read verse 12. That this is talking to the Gentiles, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So that's what we are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're, as Gentiles, we're shut out from the Commonwealth of Israel and without hope, without God in the world. But then the wonderful next verse is, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So this woman, she was really, is she really a picture of the of us as Gentiles? So if that's true, if she's a picture of the Gentiles and without any hope, bankrupt, and that's true of all of us, we have nothing to offer the Lord. You know, we're completely separated by our sin, and we've got nothing to offer. And she was unclean. She was ceremonially unclean. She couldn't even approach the priest. She was just unclean. And so here she is in that condition, and we think of what where we are, apart from Christ, where we are. She's a picture of that. But when we look at Jairus, you notice that her name isn't mentioned even. But Jairus, we have his name. The name Jairus actually means enlightened. What does that speak about? It's really speaking, Jairus and his daughter are really speaking about the nation of Israel. And when we think about that, they were enlightened, weren't they? Romans tells us that was there any advantage to being a Jew? Paul says yes, much in every way, chiefly because they had the oracles of God. They had the word of God. And Jairus was a man that was a ruler in the synagogue. He's just a picture of that nation. But there was a problem, wasn't there? That little girl of his was at the point of death. And you know, really, that's a picture of the nation of Israel when the Lord Jesus was here on earth. That nation was really at that point. You know, the Messiah had come, and he had preached the gospel of the kingdom. There was that opportunity to repent and turn to God. Turn to him, but you know that nation was at that point where we know that what happened, they rejected him. And just a few short years later, what happened? Their city was completely leveled to the ground, city of Jerusalem, and they were displaced and scattered throughout the world. And so that's what Jairus and his daughter, they portray that nation. But we see, even in the order of this, that's so interesting, because first we have Jairus and his daughter, and then there's almost like this interruption. This woman comes, and her whole thought is, I have to get near to him. I have to touch him. That's her whole desire. She says, if I can just touch him, just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. It says she came behind him in the crowd and just touched the hem of his garment, just the border of his garment, and she was healed immediately. She was healed immediately. Just that one touch, but it was a touch of faith. And the Lord knew it. Immediately, he knew it. The crowd was all around him, you know, and his disciples said, well, what are you talking about? I mean, there's a multitude around us, and you say, who touched me? But see, that's the difference. That was a touch of faith. This woman, she believed that was her only hope. She'd given up on everything else. Nothing else helped her. And yet, the moment she touched him by faith, she was healed. And that's just like our salvation, isn't it? You know, the moment that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, give up on everything else. You know, she tried everything else, and that's, you know, people try all kinds of things, don't they? You know, they try keeping the law. They try being good and helping others, and there's all kinds of things we can try. And you know, she had this struggle for years, 12 years, that she was trying to get healed and trying to be made whole again, and yet nothing availed. It's only when she came to Jesus and touched him by faith. And it's interesting what happened, isn't it? Because, you know, she probably thought, you know, if I can just get in there and touch him, and then I can kind of sneak out of here. But, you know, the Lord didn't allow that, did he? He said, somebody touched me. He says he turned around. I'm going to get back in Luke here. I'm going to ask you. It's not in Luke's gospel, but another gospel it says he turned. But the woman saw that she was not hidden. She couldn't, and she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You know, she tried to sneak away, like, you know, but the Lord didn't allow that. She wanted to be very private about it, but he made it very public. When I think about that, I think that was a real blessing from the Lord. You know, when we come to know him, when we put our faith in him, it's so important that isn't just a secret thing, is it? It's that we make it public. And the Lord didn't allow her to just go away. And why was that? Why didn't he just allow her to do that? Well, I think it was for her own strengthening her own faith. Because when we confess the Lord publicly, that strengthens our faith. That's, you know, that's something that we need to do. You know, it doesn't matter where we are, at school, at work. We need to confess the Lord publicly. We need to nail our, you know, it's the old saying, nail your colors to the mast. And as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus, if we've come to him and put our faith and trust in him, we need to let others know that. And here this woman, she had that opportunity. She did that, you know. She made it known, you know. And, you know, if she would have snuck away, if she would have gone home, she was healed. She was healed, but... You know, would she have had that real assurance? She could have, maybe a year later, she might have said, did that really happen? Was that, really what took place? Did I really touch him the right way? All those questions might have come into her mind. But the Lord, this what the Lord said to her, after she was brought out into the open and she made this public confession of what had happened, the Lord said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And you know what? She had the Lord's word on it. And when we have God's word on it, we don't have to doubt. We can have full assurance. I mean, I went for years and I didn't have that assurance. I mean, I had trusted the Lord as a young boy, and I believe that was genuine. I believe, but in my teen years, I got away from the Lord, and really went my own way, and there was a lot of sin going on in my life, unconfessed sin, and I didn't have that assurance, you know. It was only until I got the Word of God and what God says that that assurance came. And when we really know God says it, that settles it. And this woman had that. She had that from the Lord, that word. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And, you know, Luke has a lot to say about peace. That's a wonderful theme all through Luke. You know, right at the very beginning when the angels announced the Lord's coming, what did he say? He said, they said, you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, right? And at the very end of the gospel, we have, you know, the Lord appears after his resurrection to his disciples, and he says, peace be unto you. And so that's the theme right through the gospel. But here we have this wonderful declaration to this woman, go in peace. But right after that, while he was still speaking, while the Lord was still saying this, someone came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. And so this... what happened then? The Lord heard it. He said, when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. And so, yeah, just to see the differences here, that woman, when she was healed, the Lord made it, she made it very public. Yeah, one other thing I thought of when I was thinking of that, you know, one thing as believers, I thought about baptism. You know, believers' baptism. And, you know, that's a wonderful opportunity, isn't it, to publicly declare that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to really, in that sense, the Lord gives us that opportunity in baptism to nail our colors to the mast, if you want to put it that way, to let others know that, no, I belong to Him. And I think that's something that's, we know that baptism doesn't save us. We do it in obedience to the Lord because He has saved us. But it's all, you know, the Lord... He's provided that wonderful provision for us that we can publicly declare that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's just a side there. But here now there's a real serious issue. I mean, before she was at the point of death, now they say your daughter is dead. But the Lord is there, and but now it was very, very public with this woman, but now we see that it's very private because the Lord comes to the house. We read in the other Gospels that there was a lot of commotion, there was a tumult, and the flute players were playing, and they had professional mourners and professional musicians, and there was a tumult of people. What does the Lord do? He said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. I've read several commentaries, and there's different views on this. Some think that she was dead, and others think that she wasn't. I'm inclined to take the view that she was dead, because it says that when the Lord, in verse 55, then her spirit returned. But the Lord didn't say she was dead. He said she was sleeping. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do. And it's interesting in our Bible study on Wednesday, we discussed this a bit about what the scripture says about believers. When the New Testament talks about believers that have died, it doesn't say they've died, it says they're asleep. Why? Because it's only temporary. When you go to sleep, it's not permanent. You're gonna wake up. And the Lord is the resurrection and the life. And for the believer to die, really, their body's just asleep until the Lord comes. We know that the soul and the spirit go to be with the Lord. I'm thinking that a little bit this morning. I couldn't call my mother this morning because she's with the Lord. And one day I'll see her again. I'm very thankful for that. But, they're just asleep. And like, what did the Lord say about Lazarus? You know, he told the disciples that Lazarus was sleeping. And they thought he was, this is, well, don't wake him up. That's better. He'll get better, But the Lord said, no, he died. But he didn't. He said he's asleep. He's asleep. So for a believer, it's not permanent. Death is not something to be feared. It's only the body goes back to the dust, but it's going to be raised again, incorruptible, and be with the Lord. Now, for unbelievers that die, it doesn't say they sleep; they die. They will be raised. There's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The Bible tells us, not at the same time, but the dead that have rejected Christ, they will be raised. There's a resurrection of the unjust, but it's for judgment. And after that comes the second death. That's eternal. That's to be separated from God eternally. And, I think we need to preach that, but we need to do it with heartfelt feeling, because we don't want anybody in that place. That's eternal. That's being cut off from God forever, and in a place of torment and the lake of fire. So, but for the believer, it's just temporary. It's just sleep. And so he says he knew what he was going to do. The Lord knew exactly what he was going to do, and he said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And then he took her by the hand and raised her up. Said, "Little girl, or little lamb, arise." And this is a wonderful picture. And the woman, we can see the differences in these stories. The woman touched him. She said, "Oh, if I can only touch him, I'll be made well." And she touched the hem of his garment. I really think that, this isn't my own thoughts, but I really like this thought, that him is a complete thing. And it speaks of the finished work of Christ. It speaks of that finished work on the cross. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus and trust in his finished work, that he died for me and he lives for me now at God's right hand. When we put our faith and trust in him, but she touched him. But this little girl, what did she do? She didn't do anything, did she? The Lord did the work. And I think we see two sides here. The scripture presents a very balanced view, doesn't it? The one side is human responsibility. There's that side where our brother Steve spoke about that word come. There's an invitation to come, but we have to come, don't we? There's that human responsibility, but there's also the other side. It's from God's side. It's the divine sovereignty of God in raising this little girl. And we see both here. They both go together, that's a famous quote from Charles Spurgeon when they someone asked him, how do you reconcile divine sovereignty and human responsibility? He says, you know, I never try to reconcile friends. You know, there's no need of reconciliation. They both go together. It's a balanced view. We don't want to be one way or the other. We have to see both. Both are true. But what a wonderful picture here. But I really think that we see here that this really dispensational thought here, that Jairus and his daughter representing Israel, when Jesus came, she was just about to die. And Israel, the nation of Israel, was close to that point. But then in between, what happens is this woman comes. There's this interruption. And we see, I think, is a picture of the church. She has nothing. She is completely cut off from Israel by her impurity. And yet she comes to know the grace of God, you know. She touched him. She touched him. You know, we think of Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. You know, that mountain was on fire, it was shaking, and no one could even touch it. What would happen? They would die. It was death. That's what the law does. The law condemns us. The law is calls it in 2 Corinthians a ministration of death, but grace brings us in, doesn't it? She touched him. What a wonderful truth that is, that the law can't save us, but God in his wonderful grace came out to us in the person of his Son, and he fulfilled the law. He paid the penalty of our sin on the cross. We thought about that this morning. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. And what a wonderful thing that is. This woman came to know that, the grace of God. And as people that were far off, we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. But then we see the Lord, after this interruption, really, with this woman, the Lord takes up the case with Jairus and his daughter. But now it's a lot more serious. Now they say she's dead. And when we think of the nation of Israel, after they rejected the Savior, after they were their city was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, they were dispersed into all the world. And we think of in Ezekiel there, in Ezekiel 37, it talks about the valley of dry bones, you know. And the question was, can these dry bones live? Well, you know what? God isn't done with Israel. God has his purposes. And we see that in a picture, in this story. They were raised to life, and we saw that. Ezekiel, that they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Israel's going to be restored one day. And that's just the truth. But we've been brought in by wonderful grace. Those that had no hope without God in the world. God's salvation is available to each one if you come by faith. And if you haven't done that today, today's the day. God's invitation, we heard it this morning, that invitation is come. Come. He says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And there again, we have the two sides. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Well, there we have that one side. That's divine sovereignty, right? He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's human responsibility. So we have the two sides. It's balanced. It's a wonderful a picture of God's amazing grace. And so I think that's probably overtime. I am overtime. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and your wonderful provision for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that wonderful life that was lived here on earth that was so pleasing to you. The life of that perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he went about doing good, healing those oppressed, healing those that were sick and weary, and giving that wonderful invitation to come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Lord, we just pray that today we would give thee all the praise and glory and just be thankful in our hearts. And we do thank you for the mothers here today, and just bless them, Lord. We know what a wonderful gift they are. None of us would be here today apart from our mothers. And we thank you for those that have, those mothers that have pointed us to the Savior and been so helpful in our lives, Father. We're so thankful for that. So we just pray your blessing on each one today, and just commit ourselves into thy hands now in Jesus' name. Amen.